Blog Talk Radio.
You're the light, you're the night, you're the color of my blood. You're the cure, you're the pain, you're the only thing I want to touch.
Welcome to Cultural Conversations with me, your host and producer, Verona Mitchell. Join us as we bring weekly cultural topics right here to our studio. You, as our studio audience, are welcome to chime in and call the studio or join us on chat. Because, you know, at Cultural Conversations, we believe that cultural issues really do shape and impact our world. So, join us as we discuss the hottest topics and the cultural issues of our day. Stay tuned. Well, welcome to Cultural Conversations with me, your host and producer, Verona Mitchell. I am happy today because the sun is out here in Minnesota. I want to say Minnesota. So I want to welcome all our listening audience. Thank you for listening. Today, we open up our studio lines to talk about interesting cultural things that have happened throughout the month of March. As we know, March is winding down now. And we've had, all around the world, believe it or not, we've always had interesting cultural topics that we would like to talk about. And that we talk about at our kitchen table, we talk about now, we can talk about at the Starbucks counter, but we'll talk about that later. But just interesting cultural topics. This is the time that I've set aside, this hour of the show, so that you can call in, listening audience, and chime in to some of those cultural issues. I'll chime in. You'll hear my perspective on some of the topics, but I would greatly like to hear what do you have to say about the topic as well. You can call in to Cultural Conversations at 347-857-3121. Again, that name is Cultural Conversations right here on Blog Talk Radio with me, your host and producer, Verona Mitchell. The number is 347-857-3121. I also have a chat room available for you to kind of get in there and dialogue on the chat line. And if you have any questions, please raise your hand in the chat line or on the chat in the chat room, and I'll bring those questions to light right here in the studio. So, as I stated before, for tonight's session, what we're going to do for tonight's session, we're going to talk about the hot topics, hot cultural topics that happened during the month of March. And I am so glad that I don't want to see snow again until next winter. That's all I have to say about that. But for our listening audience, I hope that tonight you have a warm heart and you're able to open up and dialogue about this, some of the topics. But if not, you're just welcome to lay back, sit back, and listen. So tonight's session here on Cultural Conversations, we open it up to Open Studio. And we're going to talk a little bit about, I want to start off with about something that I go through as I'm going through the airport. I'm an African-American woman. I wear my hair in several different styles. I have natural hair. So with natural hair, we have the versatility to wear our hair in many, many, many different styles. So we don't necessarily have to just have it relaxed, perm, straight. We can have curly, we can have it bushy, we can have an afro, we can have cornrows, we can have braids, we can even have wigs, we can have extensions, hair extensions, we can have phony ponies. And for those of you who You know, you've been around, you know what a phony pony is, so I don't have to tell you about that. But we can have all sorts of attachments to our hair, whether you have your hair permed or whether you have your hair permanent relaxed or whether you have your hair natural as an African-American woman. You can, you know, basically wear your hair any way you want. Well, I mentioned the airport because sometimes in my past life traveled a lot. But never, I'm going to say never in the history of me traveling to different places, even outside of the country, have I ever had someone go through not only my person, my actually physical body, you know, pat down, but actually go in my hair. And so for the last year and a half, I've noticed, maybe up to 2 years, I've noticed when I've gone through airports, not only are my belongings that I'm carrying on, my carry-on belongings, they're, you know, being brought through x-ray and, you know, being checked, physically checked or whatever, but also my person, my body, being physically checked and pat down, got that. And just like I said, within 2 years, I was asked to, hey, we have to feel in your hair. And I'm like, feel in my hair? But I have a wig on or I have extensions or a cornrow. What are you, you know, like, what are you really feeling for? And so lately the TSA has decided that they have stopped, they will not target African-American women, black women. They will not target them to search their hairstyle. That is good. In a way, that is good, that we're not just being targeted because we have elaborate hairstyles or wonderful hairstyles. And, you know, some of those hairstyles cost a lot of money. Some of those wigs cost a lot of money. You don't know where their hands been. I know they have gloves on, but still, it's the whole nature of being searched and everything. And so I'd like to hear what your perspective is on that. If you can call in the show, again, the show's number is 347-857-3121. And right now we're talking about the TSA has made a decision, and don't think that we haven't noticed it. I knew it was going to be just a matter of time before someone noticed or someone brought the issue to light to say, hey, you cannot search my hair. You have no right to just be feeling in my hair. You know, it's like a lot of tangled stuff in there, especially if you have like a weave and you have it sewn in, you have braids under there and then you have it sewn in. It's just a lot. And to be, you know, taken on the side and search, okay, you know that's going to take about a minute, but then an extra minute or an extra time, that extra time can mean that you've missed your flight or what have you. So, or you're so anxious and nervous and, you know, running around and getting things together like I'm usually when I travel, that you just don't need the extra stress. So I'm glad that has been looked at and it's being reviewed and being decided on, that we don't need, no woman needs to have the extra search just because of a hairstyle, what have you. Again, if you would like to call the show, please do. This is Cultural Conversations. And we're having an open dialogue conversation tonight. We have no special guests on because you know what? You, the listening audience, you are the special guest tonight. And so please call the show if you would like to dialogue or have a voice on certain issues. Please call the show at 347-857-3121. Again, it's 347-857-3121. Well, tonight we're going to look at topics that we have encountered, heard on the news, or buzz, or talked about in social media in regards to culture. And so we have the live line open. One of the topics that I want to talk about, in addition to black women's hair and TSA searching the black woman's hair, is the racist frat chant that was heard around the world from the University of Oklahoma. I want to just make sure I am I am correct in my assessment here. But the racist chant from one of the frat houses that was heard around, and actually the frat was Sigma Alpha Epsilon. It is an all-white fraternity, was an all-white fraternity on the University of Oklahoma. And what happened is that these young men boarded a party bus in celebration of their Founders' Day. You know, each sorority and fraternity in the university or at the university, they celebrate their Founders' Day, and they have sometimes they have a whole week or a whole weekend of Founders' Day activity where they acknowledge the creation and history of their fraternity or sorority, and not only history and how they came to be, but also the wonderful things that they're supposed to be doing in the community. And some of them are, fraternities and sororities are doing wonderful things in the community. So what we've experienced on this party bus with the fraternity Sigma Alpha Epsilon, white male fraternity, is that they were having a wonderful time on the party bus giving homage to their experience or Founders Day. They also happened to break out in song and dance. They were, it's a cheerful time. And so within this song and dance time, they sung almost like their alma mater song or whatever, kind of like a song that was passed down, or a chant, hooray, hooray, hooray chant that was passed down by their founders, and a chant that they were taught and introduced to. Within the racist chant, it had epithets of racism, laced with racism, and laced with anti-feminism, or embedded in the message, outrightly embedded in the message of the chant. The chant and the whole kind of the experience, I'm going to say, the party bus experience, was captured by a person that was on the party bus, and sent to the school's newspaper. Once the school's newspaper, or newspaper that was published by the school, got wind of it, they broke the story. And not only did they break the story, the story broke around the country of the fraternity Sigma Alpha Epsilon and the racist chant that followed that breaking, or that racist chant that precluded the breaking of the news story. One of the interesting things that I thought was interesting as I researched and read about the incident is that the young woman, the editor of the student newspaper who wrote the story, she noted that in her newspaper, in the article itself, breaking the story, she said that that was not the first time that incidents like that took place at the University of Oklahoma. And I'm pretty sure incidents around our nation on different campuses. And so she said that wasn't the first time that it happened. But what's so interesting or so surprising this time was that they capture it on video. So now when they have to then or go to those advisors or go to people who were in power to make a difference or a change, they may have to have brought proof. You just can't say, well, someone's acting racist. Someone said a racial slur, and the first thing they're going to say, well, I didn't use their word. So where do we stand? She happened to pick it up. And so we're going to have, just in a moment, we're going to have where we're going to hear the president of the University of Oklahoma talk about maybe how disgraceful and how that type and form of racist chant or outbursts by fraternities are no longer needed or wanted on that campus. I thought it was interesting. I thought the story was very interesting, and I thought it was timely that it came out. It not only came out, but it bust social media and, you know, the media wide open with it. I feel, this is just Verona speaking, I feel like, yes, it has been going on for quite some time. I feel like people who are in those university systems, they do suffer a form of racism, especially for those particular populations that are marginalized. And I'm not only talking about, you know, the minority or African Americans or Latino populations, but it could be female population as well. And they're marginalized. And things are done and said on those campuses, and individuals have no recourse. In this instance, we see that you do have a voice and you do have recourse, and you can publish and you can say what you've experienced, but documentation is so vitally important. If you would like to get on this conversation, you're welcome to call the show again at 347-857-3121. Thank you for using the chat room and really dialoguing about this within the chat room. It's very active right now. Another thing that I want to observe about this particular story is that Mr. Petit, and I'm going to call him Mr. Petit, he was the character on the party bus, along with other members too, it wasn't just him, on the party bus that was seen on the video repeating these very derogative racial statements and just repeating these things that no one should ever be allowed to say and really get away with it. Well, he noted that in his apology. So he goes on and apologizes on national television, apologizes that, you know, he did not want to bring this about. He did not want these things to come about. And we're just going to wait one moment, and we're going to hear his apology, and we're going to also hear what the president of the university had to say about the racist chant that came about from his school. It's very interesting that social media has enlightened us in so many ways where we would not have had the opportunity to really view these things and have such things come to light. I think social media has really, really exploded in the way that it filters, in the way that information can come unfiltered, such as this. And so we're gonna dive a little bit deeper into how can we, you know, if we're going to these universities, what should we be about doing? How do we make a difference in what's being said behind closed doors? How could we make a difference in what's being said to our face? And somehow we have to be courageous and you know, look at race and look at racism and sexism and stare it dead in the face and say something about it. And I want to applaud the anonymous person who stood up and got through sending that video and sending that information, because definitely that was foul. And, they went on to apologize, but that was rather foul. So We'll be right back in a moment. You're listening to our open studio dialogue where you, the listening audience, can call in the cultural conversations. You're in the chat room. Thank you. You can call in. You can have a dialogue. You can speak your piece and say what you need about the different things that we're going to be doing tonight and the different things that we're going to be bringing to you tonight. One, we're talking about the University of Oklahoma and the particular racist chant that went around the world. So enjoy. That was Daft Punk with Random Access Memories. I love Daft Punk. I really do. It's such a new way of listening to music, and they use a lot of synthesizers and electronics, and I love Pharrell Williams' voice with that as well. Well, tonight we're opening up our show so that you, the listening audience, can have your views highlighted as well. This is Verona Mitchell with Cultural Conversations, and I'm bringing to light some cultural issues that we wrestled with throughout the month of March. And thank you for being in a chat room arguing about this University of Oklahoma. But I want to just say that, yes, we do a lot of things when we're in our college years. And we do a lot of things when we're outside of our college years, okay? That's no excuse. But I think it it's the onus of other people and mentors as well to school our future, our legacy of what we hope the nation to be, to school individuals right. And we all know that higher education itself is built on access. Those who have money have access, and they go. And they have a wonderful time when they are there. However, it's male-dominated for certain Ivy Leagues or certain universities. It is white male-dominated. Let's call it like it is. They have access. They go, and they got to make sure that their sons are leaders in running things. Okay, we're trying to make a better world here. Wouldn't it be enlightened that you would teach individuals respect, that we have to respect all shades, races, diversities, how they're coming at us? This was so blatantly obvious. And the young man in question, or who actually appeared on the video, having himself a good time, spouting out of all that negativity, one of the things that he said that was so, it hit like a dart right through your heart, was that he was taught this. He was taught this by the leadership of the fraternity, and who knows how many hundreds of individuals, maybe thousands of individuals who had contact with the fraternity learn these negative attitudes, and they were supported. Now, I talked about courage before. How could you have the courage to do something? You want to have the courage to do something. If you see something that's not right, you point it out. You say something. That's how change is made. Yeah, that's, people used to tell me, oh, Verona, that's how you catch a bullet, too. Well, you know what? You die for a noble cause. And maybe by it, you will make the change for the next 100, 200 years. But I think the onus is on all of us to say, hey, I want to call you out. I want to call your attention to something. That didn't sound right. That ain't right. And if I can't go over with you, or, you know, how they have the hazing, or the going overnight, or you go over a day, well, hell, if I can't go over with you just because I'm calling you on something, then guess what? You're not the type of leader that I need to be following. And that's all this is about, having a group of people that are followers to a leader. So we need to use our critical thinking, put your critical thinking hats on there, and say, maybe you're not the type of leader I need to be. Maybe I don't need to be associated with this fraternity because I don't believe in that. And be strong enough to stand and get other supporters, because you never know when you may change someone's life or may change the world for a better. So let's listen to what actually happened here with the University of Oklahoma and the racist chant. Let's see if we can get something up and going.
And now we have yet another piece of video from that bus. I want to play this for the first time now. Well, if he wasn't identifiable before, the leader of that chant is certainly identifiable now. But you already heard the president of the university suggest that there will be a heavy investigation looking at all possible punishments, including the ultimate punishment from that university, which is expulsion.
Now, another thing that was so critically, I want to say, over the board racist, it's just inhumane, is to know that you can hang from a tree, but you're never going to get into that fraternity, nigger. They said that. And to teach someone that type of rhetoric, and to teach someone and not diffuse that type of attitude, and we're at an institution of higher education, it just shows that something needs to be exposed within our institutions. And I'm not just focusing on or picking on the University of Oklahoma or all higher educational institutions, but there needs to be a dialogue. There needs to be something stronger. There needs to be people who are courageous for calling out. A lot of times people don't want to call out stuff because they don't want to lose what they have. So if it means that putting up with racial slants, slurs, being raped on campus and for females and males, being raped, groped, sexually molested on campus, and ignoring it or pushing it under the carpet or the rug because you don't want to lose the ground that you've made. Well, honey, you've already lost the ground that you made by not calling it out. So, again, I want to commend the person who passed on that video to say, nah, you know, maybe I'm not courageous enough on the bus at this time to say, hey, you need to stop this because this is not right. But I'm courageous enough to pass this on to someone that can do something about it. I commend the president of the university because I know benefactors probably was pulling their wallets and trying to rescind their money that they pledged to the university by saying no, and it was distasteful and disgraceful, and that it has no place. Racism, sexism, that particular fraternity, and probably others have no place at the University of Oklahoma. I want to also commend the editor for being brave enough, because she could have said she don't want to lose the ground that she has, but she thought about others and others' plights and what others were going through at that time. Again, if you would like to call the show, chime in, or you can sit back and just listen. We're having a conversation about the racist frat chant. And you know what? A lot of these conversations, important racial and cultural issues, but sometimes it hurts so much to experience it in this day and age and then have our elders experience this, whether the elders are white, black, or other, it doesn't matter. But to disrespect them in that way, it's kind of hard to stay on a topic such as this. This was a person who made a blatant mistake, made a horrible mistake that cost him and cost others because of it. And you know what? Karma is something, because it came back. And yes, it came back and it was exposed for what it was. And there's no excuse to use the N-word in a negative connotation. It's no excuse to talk about individuals that are hanging from trees, especially African-American men, in a path that they have endured and suffered here in this country. There's no excuse for that. And that you have African-American students and other students of color attending the university, and you're making a blatant declaration that they will never be a part of that fraternity. Well, guess what? They don't need to be a part of that fraternity, because that fraternity is non-existent, and it's not commendable, and it's not honorable to be a part of that group in the first place. And so that's what should have been told and said. We need to learn to practice our critical thinking. We need to learn to be brave and courageous in our dialogue. And it's just amazing that we can let things slide by until some wonderful person says, no, it can't happen again. We'll be right back. Enjoy.
Walking in across the water, across the deep blue ocean, under the open sky, oh my baby, I'm trying. But I hear you in my dreams. I feel you whisper across the sea. I keep you with me in my heart. You make it easier when life gets hard. Lucky I'm in love with my best friend. Lucky to have been there.
Colby Kelly, Lucky. Right now, we're going to listen to the apology of Mr. Petit, the figure that we saw on the video and heard repeating the racist chant or cheering everyone else on the party bus for the fraternity Sigma Alpha Epsilon. So let's listen to his apology as leaders in the African American community in Oklahoma stand by him and accept his apologies, not only in the African American community, but also different friends and supporters of the reconciliation type of movement on campus. They also was there in attendance. So let's listen to his apology.
Let me start by saying that I'm sorry. Deeply sorry. I'm so sorry for all the pain that I've caused. I want you all to know that directly from me. Although I don't deserve it, I want to ask for your forgiveness. There are no excuses for my behavior. I never thought of myself as a racist. I never considered it a possibility. But the bottom line is that the words that were said in that chant were mean, hateful, and racist. I will be deeply sorry and deeply ashamed of what I've done for the rest of my life. Some have wondered why I haven't spoken out publicly. The truth is I've had a mix of pain, shame, sorrow, and fear over the consequences of my actions. I did not want to apologize to the press or to the whole country first until I came here to apologize to the community most directly impacted. So I decided that it would be best and wait until the student leaders that we got the opportunity to meet with today were back from spring break. Over the past week or so, I've met with a number of pastors and leaders in the community to seek understanding of the meaning behind the words that I spoke on that bus. Meeting with a few people does not change what I did, but it has begun to change me and my understanding of those hateful words. With no question, my words on that bus were disgusting, and these words should never be repeated under any circumstance. I think I knew they were wrong, but I never knew how or why they were wrong. And the people that I've met with, like Senator Pittman and all these leaders behind me, have opened my eyes to really put meaning behind those words and the impact that people have when those words are said.
Now, that was Mr. Petit, who actually was the figure that we saw on the bus spitting out the racist chant. And he goes on to apologize. He goes on not only to apologize there at the internal press conference, but also they had a staged one also on steps of, you know, where he had the press conference held. And so he does apologize and notes that there's a lot of things that he knew was right, and he knew what's wrong, but he doesn't know why he said it, and he doesn't know the meaning of a lot of those things that he was taught to say. We have to take him for that. Some of us will take him for that. Some of us in social media, they have noted, some people have noticed that he knew exactly what he was saying, but he's sorry that he got caught. That may be so, too. Your opinions are important, and our listening audience, your opinions are definitely important in this matter. But it leads us to another question on what we accept. And so we finish with the University of Oklahoma. Bless them, and they deal with that. But not only the University of Oklahoma, here as a society, in society here in the United States, we do have to deal with race. We do have to deal with how people see other people and why they see other people and how they attach humanity to individuals. And so one of the people that have launched a race dialogue is Starbucks in their Race Together. Now, I understand that there's racism in this country and that something needs to be done, and we all need to be working on it. I understand that. That's a big task. It's also one that was not built overnight. The test of racism and race categories and the whole facade and lie about, you know, race, it's construction here in the U.S. So it's going to take more than just having, in my opinion, having a barista talk to me about race. I think that barista better be pretty darn up on their race theory. I teach race theory as an adjunct at certain universities here in Minnesota, and I'm telling you, there's always something to learn, and there's always a new nuanced spin on race, or I'm going to say, when I look at the whole of diversity, there's many, many, many fragments and arms to it. And so we're constantly, even for the people who are instructing in it and research this stuff, there's always a constant learning. And so President Schultz, president of Starbucks, said that he wanted everyone to start talking about race, that we need to come together on this. That could be a good thing, and that can also be a bad thing, because I could see someone rolling up in Starbucks, not feeling their best, not being in the best mood, and have a really seriously bad education surrounding race. Don't care. Let me back up. They don't have a serious bad education around race. They don't care. And really trying to dialogue with someone like that, you're not going to get far. But one of the things that Schultz said, if they don't want to hear about it, if they don't want race together, hashtag race together on the side of their mug or the side of their cup, then you can take the customer's cup and throw that cup away and give them another cup or another clean cup. But that's not the same as addressing an issue straight on. And so hopefully Schultz can go back, remanufacture what he wants to do, even if he wants to be in the business of addressing race in this country. I think it's a bigger issue. I think it needs to be addressed at the educational and government level, really, to how we approach diversity in this country. So let me see if I can get the clip of Race Together, President Schultz, talking about why he created this in the first place. This is a clip on the forums that he held, trying to put together a dialogue and a plan.
When I had the first open forum, I think it was on December 10th, at the SSC in Seattle, not many people knew what the subject was, but there were a few. And to be honest, there were some people who said, Howard, this is not a subject we should touch. This is not for you. This is not for a company. This is for someone else. I reject that. Completely, because we can't leave this for someone else. But I've also been asked, how can you trust our partners to do the right thing here? And if I think about the history of Starbucks, almost other retail business or consumer brand. Our company has been built and continues to be built quintessentially by the experience created by you, the partner. So I've asked myself during these open forums that we've been holding throughout the country with our own people, what can we do to create more empathy, more compassion, more understanding, not only within our own company, but how can we do it so that we elevate that sense of humanity inside our stores with our customers and ask our own people, you, our Starbucks partners, to facilitate a conversation, and perhaps we could do something that would be catalytic for the country. And so we're creating this partnership with USA Today entitled Race Together. And we've developed, I think, a very important tool, resource, that will be inserted into every USA paper beginning on March 20th. It'll be available in our stores. And I think it can be a primary vehicle to get people to understand that we need a new level of sensitivity and understanding around these issues. And perhaps we can, again, really create and elevate a conversation in our stores that could go well beyond our stores. And perhaps we can convince other businesses and other business leaders to join with us as a result of what we're going to do. We had a great result when I asked you once before to write something on a cup. Now, I know this is an emotional issue, but it is so vitally important to the country. And I think we're so much better as a people than we are showing up in so many cities across America. So what if we were to write Race Together on every Starbucks cup, and that facilitated a conversation between you and our customers? And what if our customers, as a result of that, had a renewed level of understanding and sensitivity about the issue, and they themselves would spread that to their own sphere of influence? Now, some of you may be uncomfortable doing this, and if you are, you have no mandate for me to do it. Just bow out. You don't have to do it. And if a customer doesn't want to receive a cup that says Race Together on it, then either give them another beverage or just replace their cup. And in an effort to create more empathy and understanding, we had our first meeting today between local police and the community in a Starbucks store. Community leaders and community members coming into the store with local police and having a conversation, just like we had in the open forum. And the result, I must say, was quite positive. More empathy, more understanding. And as we left, I think we all realized this is something we need to do more of. What's so interesting is that all the open forums that we've held have been unscripted. You never really know what's going to happen. And yet, every one of them have been exactly the same.
That is very interesting. That was the voice of Schultz, who was talking about how these forums and the whole Starbucks Race Together initiative, Howard Schultz, how these Starbucks Race Together initiatives came about, and what was some of the purpose, what was the purpose, or what is the purpose. It has gotten some positive reviews, but a lot of backlash on social media, because of just coming out and saying, well, our baristas is going to facilitate or help people understand or help the dialogue, move the dialogue on. I invited people on this show who actually work at universities who teach race theory, who teach about racism, who teach about historical patterns and trends. And they found it hard to come on the show and speak and approach the subject. So it would be interesting. I want to see, you know, in the future how this all will pan out. Maybe it would be a good thing for Starbucks to open their stores and have it as a safe space or safe meeting place so that they can have trained, educated facilitators come in and do that hard work. It's a lot of hard work, and it's a lot of heart work. When you're talking about race theory and moving people from one level to the next level if they choose to move in such a direction. So I commend Howard Schultz for his initiative or initial say, we need to have a dialogue, and I open up my stores, and I give my baristas in order to spur that dialogue. I commend him for that. Well, if you would like to call the show again, as we're winding down our hour. You can do so at 347-857-3121. This is Cultural Conversations with your host and producer, Verona Mitchell. Once a month, I'll be opening up a cultural conversation so that you, audience, could either sit back, listen to me rant about cultural and cultural topics of our day and our time, or the hour and time is for you to call in to the show and give your opinions and views. I've had several individuals hit the chat room, and they're in their chat room space, and I want to thank you, listening audience, for doing that and for those of you who are participating online as well. The next topic we're going to approach is a topic that everything's coming in a couple of weeks. I don't know, the end of March, it must be March Madness, as they say in basketball, college basketball, March Madness. And it is one that's been happening in Indiana, and shame on Indiana, shame on Governor Pence, I could say that. His controversial religious freedom, really, we call it the religious freedom law. He's not going to change it, but it's the legal term on the floor is the Religious Freedom Restoration Act, whereas based on your religion, your beliefs, you can deny a person to serve a person, give them a service or commodity within the framework of their state, Indiana. Very interesting. Want to know how this is all going to end, but I can tell you how it's looking right now. It's looking like it opens the door for this Religious Freedom Restoration Act opens the door for people who want to discriminate based on something. People will find anything to discriminate or be prejudiced against another person based on anything that they can do it now. And that the person that's discriminated against would have the right to bring that issue before the courts. Now, who have money to go around every 5 minutes when someone discriminates against you to bring it up, to get a legal, get a lawyer, and bring it up to court? And so it's going to be interesting to see how it's going to end. Governor Pence is stern and stuck in the mud or stuck in concrete because he said he is not moving, he's not budging, he's standing firm with the Religious Freedom Restoration Act, and it especially slants against gays, lesbians, transgender, bisexual, and those who exercise gender equality and gender or sexual orientation that is not of heterosexual. So businesses that have pulled out so far have been Apple, have pulled out or have made a statement. Also, Angie's List has decided not to go into the second phase of building, I think, a call center there in Indiana. And so the businesses are pulling out, and the state is going to lose a lot of money based on the Religious Freedom Act that and its potential to discriminate against gays and lesbians and transgender and bisexual and allies, actually, because we are allies. And if you discriminate against that population, then you're actually discriminating against the allies that support that population and their freedom to be. People have a freedom to be. And so I wanted to bring that to your attention as well, that these are the things that are happening. But one of the good things, you know, one of the good things about that Religious Freedom Restoration Act is that businesses have come out and said, other businesses who are not interested in discriminating against people have come out with signs that says this business serves everyone. And so we have a fight on our hands for those who are allies to support that which is right. We see it for the college, for the university, race rant. We need to stand firm against things that discriminate against individuals. We see it with the TSA going all up and down black women's beautiful hair and hairstyle. We need to say, you know, write legislation against such things like that. And we see it in Starbucks, that they're trying to do something. Let's, if you have an educational background in race theory or whatever, write a white paper, publish it, send it to corporate, and help get all of this stuff together here that we're talking about so that we can enjoy the beautiful diversity that we all stem from. I want to thank you for listening and tuning in to Cultural Conversations with me, your host and producer, Verona Mitchell. Again, each month, at the end of each month, the last Monday of the month, I will be bringing an open studio session to you as well so that you can call into our studio and participate. Thank you for listening and tuning in tonight. Thank you.
Sitting out on the edge of paradise, every inch on the skin is a holy.
This is Verona Mitchell, and thank you for joining me on Cultural Conversations. At Cultural Conversations, we're bringing weekly cultural issues and topics to our online studio. Join me next week as we bring more of Cultural Conversations. Thank you for joining me. See you next week.
Thank you.